The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show.
Have you ever gargled peanut butter?
What's the capital of North Dakota?
Do I spit when I talk?
All this and more on the Eric Metaxas Show. Now your host, until further notice, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Oh, my goodness. Albin and Chris, I have one question for both of you. Who built the cages, Joe?
Joe, who built the cages?
I found that, for me, that was the funniest part of a debate that had a number of funny parts in it. I thought it was an interesting debate. I should warn my audience, ladies and gentlemen, that's you, and I apologize in advance. We're going to be talking about last night's debate and about the election all day today, because we have coming up on this program the great Votestradamus himself. He is coming out of his bunker, but it's a very beautiful bunker. It's lined with silk tapestries, and he wears his turban. He sits on cushions, and he hears ancient voices that tell him what's going to happen. And he, Votestradamus, is going to share with us, preferably in medieval French quatrains. If not, then we're going to get him to speak in English. But Kevin McCullough, a.k.a. Votestradamus, is going to give us his not inconsiderable genius on the subject of the election and what happened with the debate last night. Before that, actually in a couple minutes, we have our friend Jenna Ellis with the Falkirk Center. She's also with the presidential campaign. And what isn't she with? My goodness, she's just all over the place. But before that, I just thought maybe that the three of us could talk about a few things concerning the debate. And
okay, I've got one thing to say, though. You know what? I think I look like you, Eric, without your horsehair wig.
Without the
possible?
Wig?
Yeah.
Listen, I chose, when I was a boy, my father took me out to the back 40 and he said, son, one of those horses is going to live on top of your head someday. And I want you to get to know it. And then when you're ready for that time, we're going to come out blasting. We're going to skin it. We're going to dress it out. We'll eat the meat. And then we'll make a beautiful wig, and it'll be in the family for years. And I'm wearing that wig right now, and I'm proud of it. I make no apologies to anyone. So, Albin, I'm sorry. What were you saying?
I'm going to defer to Chris for his opinion of last night's debate.
Chris, do you have an opinion?
I do have an opinion. Before I jump into that, though, Albin, I think maybe on the 31st, you know, depending on how you fall on Halloween, you may want to dress up as Eric. If you can find a horsehair wig, perhaps from China.
Hey, can I say something about Halloween? It's the only holiday where you actually wear masks. So why are they canceling Halloween everywhere?
What the? Holy cow. All right, so we have to get serious. Go ahead.
Last night's debate, I thought, was... I thought Trump did very well. I thought the moderator was probably the best performer. You know, she made the other two, you know, the Savannah Guthrie from Town Hall and the first moderator look terrible in comparison. I thought she did a good job of sort of running the show.
Yeah, I have to say, now she did interrupt Trump a ton of times. And I actually began to notice this about halfway through. I thought she keeps cutting him off at the end, just as he's kind of making a good point, like when he brought up the laptop from hell, she cut him off.
Yeah, that was muddled. That definitely should have been probably the soundbite of the night, because that, you know, obviously there's been a lot of discussion about that, and it seems pretty damning. So I don't know why,
in the comedy business, and you know this, Chris, we're all in the comedy business. It's called a punchline killer. She was a punchline killer. It's like when the waiter comes up just as you're telling the table the punchline to the joke, and the waiter comes up and says, I'm sorry to interrupt. but you can go to the salad bar now, and I'd love to take your drink orders.
I didn't actually have to watch the debate because I already voted for Pat Paulson.
Now, very few people are getting that reference, but unfortunately, I'm one of those people. I get that reference. Look, I just want to say that it seemed very clear to me that Trump won the debate, period. Trump, the expectations for Trump were so low because the first debate had been so disastrous. If he could just summon a modicum of self-control and project a modicum of presidential qualities, that would have shocked the world. That's what he did. I think it shocked the world, his being so measured in the face of what, in the case of Biden, were a number of really difficult to hear lies or misrepresentations. And I think that the president said what he needed to say. He did what he needed to do. And as far as I'm concerned, it's game over. He will win re-election. That's that. Amy Coney Barrett will be the sixth. Amy Coney Barrett will come in next, either Monday or Tuesday, and he will win re-election.
Now, Votestradamus in hour two is going to bring his electoral map onto the show, and he's going to talk about if things have changed in that direction.
He's going to bring the map?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Why didn't you tell me? I can't believe he's going to bring the map. We should have billboards all over the country.
He carries that map
to watch this show.
He carries that map around with him. It's on a big chain. It's part of his bling.
Yeah, he's basically the political Dora the Explorer at this point. He doesn't go anywhere without his map. I was watching him last night, and he did tweet after the debate that, you know, I don't want to give too much away, steal his team, but you know, the oil comment was is going to play really tough, and obviously the oil states, you know, the oil sort of rich states.
Yeah, now when he said he's against, and then of course he claimed he's not against fracking, and he has many, many times. Well, listen, Biden is in a tough spot, which is why he's not going to win. He's in a tough spot because he knows that the radical policies of, you know, AOC plus three dictate a large part of what he has to say, or he will lose the Bernie bros and the woke communists. Yeah. And he can't afford to lose those folks. On the other hand, normal people who would vote for a Democratic candidate blanch at the horror of somebody saying about we're going to end the oil industry. So he's tried to have it both ways. He said we're going to phase out fracking. We're going to phase out the oil industry. We're not going to do it immediately. You know, he's trying to have it both ways. Listen, Jenna Ellis is waiting in the wings.
That's right. I was going to say,
just because she's waiting in the wings, I just want to mention something really quickly. We are still raising money for the Alliance Defending Freedom. Folks, no matter who wins this election, Trump will win. But no matter who wins this election, we need to go the extra mile in protecting religious liberty. The government can't and won't do it. They can only do so much. We're at a time right now where there are all kinds of people being sued and persecuted for ridiculous things. But they have to fight in court simply to preserve sanity and the status quo and religious liberty, which is in the Constitution. So that's what the Alliance Defending Freedom does. We have already told you we will shave our facial hair. Mm-hmm. We will grow facial hair. We'll do whatever we need to do to get you excited about this. Albin has lost all his facial hair because of you, because of generous donors who have given the facial hair. Now he's kept the facial hair.
It's all in boxes.
He wants you to own a piece of history. And if you are willing to give $500 to the Alliance Defending Freedom, you'll get all kinds of signed books and all stuff, but at the center of it will be either a museum quality envelope or some kind of a vial containing either beard hair or mustache hair, or you can go for the combo. And the combo also comes with a side burn. Actually, no sideburns. Maybe Chris and I can shave some of our sideburns, but the combo usually comes with one or two sides, and we want to do this for you. So we're out of time, but I just want to say right now, don't forget, we do need your help. We're way behind. Metaxastalk.com is the website. I will give this phone number, and I'm asking you folks, this is for liberty. This is for religious liberty. There's nothing missing here. I'm just giving it straight to you. the Alliance Defending Freedom defends people for free. It's happening all over the country. They can't take all the cases. They need our help. So let me say, call, please, now, 855-547-5333. There's all kinds of gifts, 855-547-5333. In a couple of seconds, Jenna Ellis, and after that, Hoekstradamus.
Sailing softly through
the sun. Folks, welcome back. We have Jenna Ellis of the Falkirk Center. She's in the On Deck Circle right now. And before she comes on, I just want to make one mention. Albin, I hope you don't mind, and Chris, I hope you don't mind, but we are doing a promotion of a book called Eight Questions About Race.
Oh, that's great.
A Black Pastor Responds to Black Lives Matter. I read that backwards. Bishop Aubrey Shines, he is the founder of Conservative Clergy of Color. And this book arms conservatives with rebuttals to Black Lives Matter. We need to understand, again, folks, you can't buy the cliche Black Lives Matter. And I'm sorry the president didn't bring it up on the debate last night. They're a Marxist organization. They believe all people, white people, are inherently racist. Do you know what that is? That's racism. It's despicable. Yeah. And right. They need to be called out on it. It is despicable. The book is a must read for people who care about the country and churches and liberty and their kids. You've got to understand this stuff. And I do my best on the program, but this book, Eight Questions About Race, A Black Pastor Responds to Black Lives Matter, Bishop Aubrey Shines. Now, they want you to go to the website, and it's spelled out EIGHT, eightquestionsaboutrace.com. Can I say that? Eightquestionsaboutrace.com. And I also wanted to mention before we let Jenna onto the program that behind me is glowering none other than our friend Mel. He said, Eric, if you need me to stand there with my pillow, I will do it. And I said, I'd prefer it if you didn't because you're freaking me out, Mikey. And he says, no. I want to tell people they need to use the code Eric. And he said, you tell them, but I'll just be there as backup.
Well, I said,
but I already have a bobblehead doll. It's kind of creepy, man. We're trying to do a serious show here. This is a serious journalistic effort. And in the midst of it, we've got this kookiness going on. Yeah, also behind me, Donald.
Yeah, he's about, man. Yeah, well, he's about to hit me in the head with his pillow over there. Look at
how
that.
Can he be there if he's here? I don't get it. And how can this bobblehead doll actually be a representation of him if there's another representation of him?
Well, the two of them look like they're ready to hit the Donald the Caveman about to have a pillow fight.
We like to have fun on the program. We get very serious, but we like to have fun. And I just want to remind you that Mike Lindell and My Pillow, they're our biggest sponsor on the program. So if you can go to mypillow.com and order anything there, and really their stuff is terrific. We haven't talked about it recently, but Albin and I, you and I have talked about how our wives and we both think that the mattress topper is amazing. I simply didn't think anybody could like improve my sleep. I was like, yeah, whatever. Come on, really? Yeah. Yes, it's just it's actually amazing. I was stunned. I don't know what it's made of. I don't care. All I know is that it is just like insanely comfortable, and I wasn't expecting that. And all of the stuff you get from Mike Lindell at mypillow.com, you put in the code Eric.
Yeah. Hey, Eric, and trust me when I tell you, Alice is in the On Deck Circle
right over there.
Yeah. I was talking to my brother-in-law the other day, and he said that MLB, Major League Baseball, you know, the playoffs, actually the World Series, right? Anyway, he said that they're not doing this take a knee stuff like the other Major League teams are doing. So he said it's okay to watch them and not get this political message. And I said, I guess they're so patriotic, they're not even taking a knee in the On Deck Circle. Isn't that something?
Wow, that is patriotic. I just got a text from Jenna Ellis saying that she's on the program and why don't we let her talk? Okay. So I think it's time to let her in from the On Deck Circle. Step into the batter's box. Jenna Ellis, welcome to this program.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
We love having you. We better shut up because you're the expert. The debate last night, what was your take on the debate?
Oh my goodness. It was pitch perfect for the president. And I thought that he did just such an excellent job of pressing Joe Biden on some of these really critical questions, showing his responses, his care and compassion for the American people, his plan for the next 4 years. But Eric, I thought that a couple of the things that Joe Biden actually admitted were really shocking for his platform. I mean, to say that he just wants to completely get rid of the oil industry, the fact that he lied and asked the president, show me the video, I never said that. And then you have probably 2 minutes later, you know, the president's Twitter feed puts up, there's the video, Joe. Yeah, we actually have that. The president knows what he's talking about. He came armed with the facts. I mean, that was just so damaging to Joe Biden that he was willing to stand on the stage and lie. And the president could show the evidence. I mean, that was just so bad. And then his response to this whole Hunter Biden story, which is really about Joe Biden. It's about answering his foreign corruption, his connections. This is a national security intelligence risk. And to just say that this is Russian disinformation was really such a lame, old kind of 2016 era excuse that nobody buys anymore.
Well, so listen, Jenna, let's, but wait, let's not be kind. It's a lie.
It's a lie.
And there are lies, and there are damn lies, and there are statistics. I got to tell you, for someone, you know, we now use the term gaslighting. And in case anybody doesn't know, it comes from the movie with Ingrid Bergman, where she is being lied to by her husband, but he's playing head games with her. He's so serious, and he keeps trying to inject doubt into her mind and play that. That's what it means to gaslight. And this Vice President Biden is doing that. In other words, he's saying things that are so crazy, but he knows some people are gullible enough to buy it, and he doesn't care. He's just going to say it. But I just want to frame it to say that when you say that your son's laptop, which now we know, we have various levels of proof and evidence that it is the laptop, that the emails are real. At this point, in other words, last night, to say it's Russian disinformation, it is just a level of desperation for him to say this that I have to say, doesn't it just admit he has no answer? There can be no answer. And he is going to stick to this lie, cynically believing enough Americans will believe it to vote for him. And he doesn't have to answer the question because the media will not press him on it.
Yeah, that's absolutely true, Eric. And isn't it shocking that a presidential candidate will stand there and say that instead of saying the truth, taking responsibility, and actually answering the question directly? And even if he wants to excuse away fact or try to put some kind of, you know, context that couches it a little bit better, I mean, but just to blatantly flat out lie. And it's a knowing lie. It's something that is just so shocking. And you see, and I think that where you went to the media is absolutely part of the problem here, because the media refuses to hold Joe Biden accountable. They are complicit in this because he is, of course, their preferred candidate. They are trying so hard, the media and big tech, to push Joe Biden over the line because they are all in this together and they want globalism. That's really the goal here, is that they want to obfuscate American sovereignty. They don't want your and my rights, individual rights, to be protected past 2020. They want to create this global society. Big tech is involved. I mean, all of this is geared toward their preferred outcome. And so he has that ability and the comfort level to, on the debate stage in national television, just lie. And he doesn't care about fact and truth because one in the mainstream media is willing to actually fact check.
But that's what's so shocking, is that we're at a point where somebody could say something which is utterly preposterous. In other words, we're not saying, there's some truth or whatever. It is just manifestly absurd. The idea that Vladimir Putin, who runs a nothing country, I mean, you can't begin to compare Russia with China or even with India. It's an absurdity. It's a mania to focus on Russia. But they've been doing it and doing it and doing it. The facts keep coming out that there's nothing to it, that there was nothing to it. But I guess what bothers me is the cynicism. And it's almost like the sense of entitlement that Nancy Pelosi has when she gets angry, when you dare question her on something. It's a level of entitlement. Like, I am going to say what I'm going to say. None of you are going to challenge me on it. And you just shut up and listen to what I say. The yeah. idea, honestly, we have so much evidence that's coming out now that this is, I mean, just before the
debate, they
had Bob Alinsky there, right, with a great name, Bob Alinsky. And he's actually saying, yes, I received these emails. I was in on this. Joe Biden was in on this. Joe Biden doesn't care. He knows nobody's going to call him on it.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's a how dare you question me? And this is the absurdity of the Democrat Party. They don't want to be held accountable.
We're gonna go to a break. Folks, for this hour, we have Jenna Ellis in hour two. The dreaded Votestradamus will be making an appearance. No one is allowed to leave. Thank you.
Deep inside of me. Girl, you just don't realize what you do to me. When you hold me in your arms so tight, you let me know everything's all right.
Investors seeking steady cash flow, ready to diversify? NRIA has grown to be one of the nation's leading specialists and offers 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses targeted at 18 to 21%. That's right. You could receive steady 10% return monthly payments with bonuses. As their slogan says, they specialize in realty investing done right. You can even use your 401k or IRA to invest. NRIA's 15-year track record and $1.2 billion in new construction development backs you. Learn how you can invest in this hard asset real estate cash flow fund today and receive 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses. This is something savvy investors should research and consider. Call now 800-700-5483. That's 800-700-5483 or visit NRIA.net.
An offer to buy or sell any security is only made by our private placement memorandum. Read it first. See us at NRIA.net.
Folks, today is the day after the last presidential debate. We, because we've got big connections, were able to get Jenna Ellis on the program. Now, Jenna, big announcement. You are now on Instagram, correct?
Yes. Thank you for bringing this up.
The reason I'm bringing it up is because I'm kind of pathetic on Instagram. I didn't even know how to do the story thing yet. I've done it and then I forgot and whatever, but I want to announce if people want to follow you on Instagram, they ought to. I'm sure you've already got a zillion followers more than me, but big announcement. You're on Instagram. Second big announcement. The president last night said, this is my favorite when Trump does stuff like this. I fall on the floor laughing. He says, Joe, who built the cages, Joe? Who built the cages? I mean, that to me is so funny because it's a fact that the Obama-Biden administration built the so-called cages. And the president just asks it almost with a kind of with this earnestness, like, Joe, who built the cages? That was for me one of the more entertaining moments.
Oh, yeah. It was one of several really great lines that the president just kept pushing back on. And you could see how nervous Joe Biden was and how aggravated and angry he was getting. I mean, his whole demeanor last night, he came in very aggressive, very moody. And when the president was just calm, cool, collected and kept pushing back on those questions that, I mean, the answer is obvious. It's almost like asking him, you know, is the sky blue, Joe? Is it blue? And Joe Biden just doesn't want to answer because he knows that the response and the truth is so damning. And this is where, again, that, you know, the Democrats are so entitled that they really think that the American people, if they just ignore truth and fact, that they can still get votes. I mean, just like you were talking about with Nancy Pelosi, I mean, Chuck Schumer yesterday, when Amy Coney Barrett was confirmed out of voted out of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and she's going to be her confirmation vote, by the way, will be Monday on the floor. She'll be confirmed to the U.S. Supreme Court. And Chuck Schumer had the audacity to be out on the steps of the Supreme Court saying, this is unconstitutional. This is unprecedented. And it's like, that has been so thoroughly shown to be absolutely false. Both it's completely constitutional and also this is not unprecedented. We have had judges, Supreme Court nominees from prior presidents that have been nominated and confirmed in the same day. In election years, every president has always nominated for a vacancy. Nothing about this is unprecedented, but the Democrats continue to perpetuate and push their lies because they are hoping that the American people will be too stupid and will fall for it. And that's just so infuriating and offensive to American people who actually care about this country, love this country, and actually can, you know, Google things for themselves.
Well, also, Jenna, we have to say that things have become degraded in our culture and in our politics. Let's face it, both sides are playing naked politics because that's where we are. There was a day, I barely remember, when a president found someone he thought right for the Supreme Court, and they would almost always sail through. Then, of course, we had the Bork hearings. I'm old enough to remember that, and I remember it did change my opinion of the Democrats. I actually remember, you know, I was very young, but I remember watching it and thinking, you know, I'd been brainwashed at Yale to think that the Democrats were the party to vote for. And when I watched the hearings, I was mortified to see Ted Kennedy do what he did, which was unconscionable. It was despicable. It was so ugly to Judge Bork. And from that day on, we saw it with Clarence Thomas, and we've seen it ever since. Naked politics. And so, of course, if you play naked politics, you're going to eventually force the other side to play naked politics. What they did, you remember what Lindsey Graham said? He said, a year or so ago, I had this view. But what I saw done to Justice Kavanaugh, I changed my opinion. I will never forget what you all did to Justice Kavanaugh. So this is the ugliness is it cuts both ways. If you do something like that, then the next time they're going to do it to you. And that's basically where we are. We've got the votes. She will be confirmed. They don't like it. So they play political theater.
Yeah. And it just keeps amplifying. I mean, and you're right to say that this is now naked politics. And this is the problem with Congress right now on both sides. I mean, and you even saw President Trump address that last night with talking about, the stimulus package for coronavirus and talking about not being able to work with Nancy Pelosi because she's just digging her heels in for politics. And he actually said, you know, I think it hurts her, frankly. And he's right, because, you know, the American people see that the government is supposed to work for us. This isn't a revenue generating institution. It doesn't actually bring value to anything. It's not something where, you know, this is a free enterprise where we're actually consumers getting some kind of product. And so Americans understand the difference between what government is supposed to do as a legitimate institution, which is to preserve and protect our freedom and liberties, to then go out and pursue happiness, to make the best decisions for ourselves, for our families. Government is supposed to protect our natural rights, and so that we can go out then and have the benefit of a free society. But when politics and politicians become so self-absorbed, like what President Trump was talking about with Joe Biden, saying, you've been in public office and in public trust for 47 years. When are you going to do it, Joe? The last 8 years when he was vice president. Oh, and now somehow you come up with a plan. I mean, he was talking about the very same thing that you are, Eric, which is that this is so political for, and it's so petty for all of these people who their entire lives are spent in this petty political world, that they've lost sight of the goal of our American system of government and the fact that power, government power for its own sake or for their own sake, is not at all what government is about.
Beautifully, beautifully said. I'm sorry, we're going to go to we have to go to a hard break here, but that's beautifully said. We're going to continue with Jen Ellis. Lots more on the debate, folks. Don't go away.
Sipping whiskey from a paper cup. You drown your sorrows till you can't stand up. Take a look at what you've done to yourself. Why don't you? You put the box.
Moses, I have been. Hey, there, folks. We're talking about last night's debate. We have Jenna Ellis with the Falkirk Center and the Trump campaign. Jenna, you were just making a point about the role of government, and I had to cut you off. Please do continue there.
Yeah, well, you know, so we're just talking about the fact that, you know, politicians are so greedy, they're so egotistical, they're so self-focused that when they've stayed inside DC for their entire career, it becomes about them rather than the American people. And this is where President Trump coming in as a businessman, as an international businessman, as someone who has participated in capitalism, in the freedom and liberty of America to make his life great for himself and his family, to take advantage of the freedom that we enjoy in America. He understands the purpose of government. And he even said to Joe Biden, the only reason that I ran for president is because of you, because of how bad of a job that you did. I mean, and this is the type of individual, the type of citizen president that our founders actually contemplated when they came up with the idea of a president, because we have the separation of powers in government. Like we've talked about the judicial branch to be that check and balance. So there isn't this petty partisan politics that will pass their own agenda and unconstitutional law. But Congress is really the branch right now that is so defunct, it's so decrepit, and it's so petty that it's not working with President Trump. And yet he is coming in and he has drained the swamp so much. And we need four more years of that, because when the founders looked at the idea of a president, it was the model of one of our fellow citizens who would then go into public office to be the chief executive officer and the highest office in the land, and would be someone who would understand that the role and purpose of American government is not power for its own sake, like we've seen throughout world history with kings and tyrants, but rather to make sure to protect freedom and liberty for all Americans. And that's the difference between what President Trump has done and what he was telling Joe Biden. He's done more in 47 months for the American people than Joe Biden's done in 47 years.
It seems clear to me that that's true. It sounds crazy, but it seems to me that it's true. I just want to say to my audience, if you've never seen the film Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, it is a brilliant film starring Jimmy Stewart, and who's kind of the, you know, the citizen who stumbles into Congress, and he's a very young, innocent congressman. And the picture of career politicians who are in bed with power, who love their own power, Claude Rains plays that role. And it is a magnificently patriotic film made, of course, by Frank Capra. I mentioned it in my book, If You Can Keep It, because I think every American really needs to see that film, because that film is simultaneously super patriotic and pro-American, at the same time showing the danger of what our system is capable of. It's capable of allowing people like the Claude Rains figure to accrue so much power over the decades that they lose sight of everything. So I hope people will watch, before they vote or anytime, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. It is just a magnificent, magnificent movie. The debate last night, again, there were a lot of interesting moments, a lot of funny moments, but I guess I was most taken by how the president brought up the laptop and China. He made a couple of clear points. The moderator, who was generally very good, stepped on his punchlines, she muddied up those moments. And that to me was a pity.
Yes. And I completely agree with you that, I mean, Kristen Welker, who was the moderator, did a much better job in terms of allowing the discourse back and forth. I thought she was a lot more fair than Chris Wallace. Absolutely. But the one complaint that I had with her is the exact same thing that you pointed out, Eric, was that she did not want this laptop story to be discussed back and forth. And so every time that the president made a very clear point and was asking Joe Biden a question, she would say, oh, that's on topic. I want to stay on the race issue, or I want to stay on climate change, or, you know, we're not talking about that right now. And she would cut in and interrupt And I think there were some statistic where she interrupted the president about 41 times and Joe Biden only 8 times. And granted, you know, she allowed the back and forth, the 2-minute openings where their mics were muted, that, you know, that was fine. But it was very clear that she did not want any discourse about this laptop, which is so unfortunate because the American people need to understand what's going on here. I thought the president explained it incredibly well. And to have a moderator interject themselves like that is activism, and it's absolutely inappropriate. And that's something that just clearly evidences that the mainstream media has a biased agenda and that they are trying to protect Joe Biden from the story. So you have to ask yourself, why? Why would they do that?
Well, you know, what I think maybe the biggest takeaway from the debate, in other words, if you think about people who are still on the fence, who haven't made a decision, I think there are a lot of people out there, for them, if Trump could just seem presidential, if he could show himself capable of self-control, that's all they needed to know. He's a big boy. He can do what he needs to do. He's not unhinged. He did that magnificently last night. I was really stunned at how measured he was, how he didn't make faces when Biden was saying manifestly ridiculous things. He did that so well last night. It was almost like he was being not just presidential, but fatherly and adult, with a kind of a level of graciousness toward Biden at times that I was actually amazed. I think he got a lot of swing votes just by doing that.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, for everyone who has pushed back and, you know, the few, you know, people on Twitter who've said, you know, he's not presidential or, you know, some of those concerns, I thought he absolutely broke through that and showed the people who may still be on the fence, like you said, that absolutely he can come in measured, he can come in appropriate, he can come in and be the calm, cool, collected, and he can push back and say, no, wait, well, I'd like to answer that. But at the same time, be very solid with facts. It was the perfect debate.
And it's so interesting, too, because when he talked about, there are a couple of things, you know, that these are Democratic talking points about kids in cages separated from their parents. And, you know, he made it pretty clear. Oh, excuse me. Those children are being used by coyotes, by some of the most nasty, filthy people who will use children, do anything. He made that point. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back, more with Jenna Ellis in an hour or two. Votestradamus Kevin McCullough, he's going to come on and tell us everything we thought we knew. Folks, I'm talking to my friend Jenna Ellis with the Falkirk Center and with the Trump campaign. You and I both live in the world of social media a little more than most. You way more than most. Of course, now you're even on Instagram. And hey, wait a minute. I'm on Instagram, too. Why don't people follow me on Instagram? I hope both of us today get a ton of followers on Instagram. But you saw something on Twitter, which I think I also saw on Twitter about coyotes. Go ahead.
Yeah. So we were talking about how the president pushed back on this, you know, false, fake lie from the Democrats that, you know, the separation of children from parents and at the border. And President Trump made the correct point that most of these children who are being brought over the border are being brought for the purpose of child trafficking. And he said, you know, from cartels and coyotes. And he made those points. And yet on Twitter later, there was actually a Democrat from Georgia who is a representative and apparently also an attorney. So I'm very embarrassed for my own profession that she actually tweeted and said, how can a coyote bring a whole human child across the border? And there were all of these other blue checks on Twitter, these people, you know, who were verified, who actually thought that the president was talking about the animal coyote, instead of understanding that that's actually the name for these traffickers. And it was just so incredibly embarrassing.
Now, Jenna, this is why
info voters to the Democrats.
This is why I listen to you and I follow you on social media, because I missed this. You have got to be kidding me. You're not kidding. You're serious.
I am not kidding. If you go to my Twitter and if you go to Facebook, and now I'll have to put it on Instagram, of course.
And on Instagram, I did a screenshot
of this tweet from this representative from Georgia, who actually is now defending this tweet, saying, you know, can you believe that the president was saying this? And then someone actually aggregated all of the blue checks who were thinking that coyote meant animal. I mean, it's absolutely bizarre. And you have to think, this is the only way that Biden is actually getting any votes, right? Or from people who are just buying into these talking points that clearly had no idea.
Well, but I mean, if a normal person didn't know that, I don't mind, because people are busy. And a lot of times I've joked with you about how we use these terms, you know, those of us who are like in the know and we're reading news every day, but most people are living their lives and they might never have gotten, like, I could picture one of my parents not getting that, right? But when you're talking about a representative whose job hinges on knowing this stuff, you know, way better than I'm supposed to know it. That's just, that is, first of all, it's hilarious. Secondly, it's really sad. I guess I want to, can I drag you over into the next hour? Because we've got Votestradamus coming up. That's Kevin McCullough. And, you know, I can only take so much of him. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He's kind of scary. He's just kind of scary. He comes with this whole aura. And Albin, I told you, please, I don't want him wearing the turban. It just freaks me out. It's too much. I want to keep you over into the next hour. I just want to touch very briefly on John Piper wrote an article. Did you see John Piper's article about why he's not voting for this president?
I saw it. And, you know, and I've seen so many things from John Piper. And it's so incredibly sad, because if you look from a Christian perspective and you see, if you don't stay on the clear meaning of scripture and you don't stay on that straight and narrow path, it's like, so my mom used to read Pilgrim's Progress. And there's a great analogy in there of when Pilgrim, who's walking on his road, on his Christian road, and it's a difficult path, right? It's rocky at times. It's difficult to find footing. And he sees that there's grass on the other side of the path. And so he just says, you know what, I'm going to step over, even though it's not on the straight and narrow, but it's right by there. And he ends up being misled and going and just getting further and further away, and ends up in the castle despair. And this is where I think John Piper and others who aren't staying on the straight and narrow path, they end up so way.
I want to talk more about that when we come back. Folks, I'm talking to Jenna Ellis. We've got Votestradamus coming up. You know you don't want to miss it. Stick around.